This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today.
In this episode, we're presenting a repeat of a conversation with Gaia and Bill about how he receives divine solutions for challenges at work. Bill shares some biblical and historical examples and some of his own experiences.
Good to have you, Bill.
Hey, Gaia, so good to see you again.
I'm looking forward to these talks. You know, this is an interesting subject. It makes me curious, receiving downloads from heaven, as you mention it. What are your thoughts? How did you yourself open up to it?
Well, I think I just stumbled into it, recognizing that it was something that I was experiencing, probably by surprise, not really recognizing it. But it sort of drove me into Scripture to see, is this something that's ever happened before? Is this something that we can find some biblical basis for? And what I discovered is there's a lot of evidence that this actually happened. And maybe the most significant would be the design that was received for the tabernacle.
So there were specific instructions.
Instructions like thread colors and which three threads could be woven together. And then the links, the distance, the placement of articles inside it, the wood, the materials that were used, as well as God said that He had given wisdom to a certain number of selected people to be the craftsmen for this. They wouldn't be the only ones that worked on it, but they would be the leaders of that sort of department, you could say.
Mm-hmm. So did that help and inspire you to seek more? I mean, it's like we are used to having encouragement from God, but this seems like a step further. Practical solutions.
That's a great question, Gaia, and I think you're exactly right. I think many times, because we're approaching God who's not visible, we don't expect a visible solution or a tangible solution. We expect something that we would qualify as more spiritual. So encouragement or something like that, something of that nature. But when we start getting specific designs for mechanical solutions, let's say we have a factory and there's a lot of mechanical issues, that is rather surprising. But there's some recent history of people who just had an incredible experience like this. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Well, I heard you talk about this. There's someone who did a lot of inventions around the peanut, right?
Yes, that's right. He was called the Peanut Man by some people. We'll just mention him in this podcast briefly, and we'll go into some detail later about what was the method that he used to actually receive this kind of information or these downloads from heaven? But he's attributed to having produced over 312 products from the peanut plant. That's just incredible. And they weren't like peanut butter. They were like house paint and perfume and things that you would never imagine would come from that. And when he was asked about how did you get these ideas? And he was asked by the U.S. Congress, and he had been invited to the White House on three different occasions. But his answer is recorded in the congressional record as something as simple as, well, I just go for walks in the morning and I ask the Lord these kinds of questions, and then I receive His answers.
Because, Bill, how did you stumble into this?
My first occasion that I can really put my finger on had to do when we were manufacturing stained glass lampshades. And it was a stumble. It wasn't really an intentional. I wasn't praying about anything.
You were producing lamps.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so these lamps would have maybe 600, 700, 800 pieces of glass that were soldered together. And it's a, you know, relatively old technique, you know, 150, 200 years ago, began to do it. But what we were told was this. We would make a repeating pattern, and we would make the lampshades in three different parts, or three different leaves, we called them. So when you put them all together, it'd equal one big round lampshade. But you wouldn't make them as one big round lampshade. And they said the reason was you couldn't get them out of the mold. So the way that they made the mold was to construct the first lampshade, and then they would use plaster to capture the shape of the outside of the lampshade. But they would only do a third of it. And then that design was repeated. So if they made three of the same pattern, they could fit them together eventually to make one complete round lampshade.
It sounds like quite extensive work, a lot of labor involved.
Well, there definitely is a lot of labor involved. You're right. But when it came to soldering these three together, they could never make it look really good. They could never make the solder lines look as nice as the individual solder lines on one leaf. And the reason is they didn't have a good way to hold them together while they did it. So there would be a bigger gap, and the gap would be a bigger solder line. And sometimes they didn't look that round. You could almost see an edge to it.
And well, at least they would really look like handmade.
They did look handmade. And the market expected it. This was the only way they had experienced it before. And so as I looked at that, the idea popped into my head, and this is probably where we should be suspicious that we're not creating these ideas, but more receiving the ideas. The idea popped in, well, why don't you just make a single mold that would let you put all the pieces of glass together? You could kind of make them fit really nicely and then begin the soldering process.
So this idea that popped into your mind, you call it now, these were one of the 50 downloads I got from heaven?
Yes, it definitely would be. But it wasn't received with a lot of enthusiasm. So we had a sort of a master lampshade maker supposedly teaching us how to do this. And so I approached him and I suggested that we do a single mold. And he just shook his head, like, he says, you guys don't know what you're doing. You have no idea how this works, because many of the lampshades would actually sort of curl under, curl around in creating this shape. And when you do that, if you made a single mold, you could make the lampshade in a mold like that, but you could never get the lampshade out of the mold.
Oh, that's a problem.
That's a problem. And so he just shook it off and said, that's just never going to work. But I immediately received another idea. And that idea was, well, why don't we make three leaves out of plaster that complete a lampshade? And then before we take those off the master lampshade, so the idea is we have an actual completed lampshade we want to duplicate, we'll put 1-inch thick layer of plaster over the whole thing. And then before it completely dries, we would separate it into three parts. But we wouldn't remove those yet. And then we would put another cap of plaster over those three molds, not completely down to the edge, but over two-thirds of it, let that dry, pop that off after it dries, pop the three leaves off after they dry, and then reassemble it upside, you know, right side up on the desk. Does that make sense?
Well, I think for people who are into the things, they really can follow you. But I believe that you really discovered something or received something that was workable.
It was, and we completed the whole development of this in maybe 2 hours or so. And then we could assemble the lampshades without that big, thick line that identified where the three panels were soldered together. And the speed increased so that we could get 20% more product out, I would estimate. And a year later, that same expert said that we were the best producer of lampshades in all of Asia. And we had really no experience beforehand. So I think it is attributed to the ideas that we received, not that we created, but that we received.
But Bill, aren't you really sharp? You know, you might have this creative gift that God is using.
Yes, it came with my degree in philosophy. I don't think so, Gaia. I do think that maybe some people are more comfortable with the physical world, with things, and they like becoming carpenters.
I mean, I really can't see myself receiving those ideas.
Well, you're good with words, Gaia.
I could.
Yeah. How many books have you written?
Several.
So do you think in that process, maybe you received some downloads, maybe, or not even aware that they were being received?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you get into this flow.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's there.
Right.
I think even today, you know, we are working on developing the course, and it is ready to be presented. And yeah, even there, getting this is the right word.
Yes, it was even coming together earlier today for you, right?
And I do sense, oh, there is a flow, or there is a blessing, or there is a. And I think it's also often when, in a way, we relax. You know, when we are not striving, or when we are not, I think even, we did a podcast last year with this lady who knows a lot about brains. And
yes.
She shared how when we are open and relaxed, and worship even, you know, is a place where we are in awe, that something happens in our brains that it's easier to receive.
I think you're right. I believe she was describing mind mapping in real time as people were worshiping, and the brain was just sort of lighting up in a much more active way than before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is possible that this indicates that more is going on for sure when you worship than at other times, which would be kind of a natural time for the Lord to speak to us.
So did you receive some of these things, ideas, while you were worshiping?
I did. My primary time to receive them, I believe, was before I woke up in the morning, or as I was waking up.
Like in this sleep-wake.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kind of period.
Just as you're becoming aware that you could open your eyes and you begin to be you know, for that day. But as we're talking right now, I'm having another thought, and that is that it's my belief that a lot of downloads will occur then because the relationship or the communication between me and the Lord is better at that time than any other time of the day for this one particular reason. It says that I have within me His Spirit crying out, Abba, Father. And the Scripture also says, and you find this in Romans and Galatians, that my spirit is crying out with Him, the same thing, Abba, Father. So while my body is sleeping, I don't believe my spirit or His Spirit are sleeping, and I feel like they have uninterrupted access to God and to the throne and to their connection to heaven. And so I think they actually are rather enjoying the time when I'm not interrupting them. But that would be kind of the classic definition of worship, when we're speaking just Abba Father to our Heavenly Father. And so as we begin to wake up and sort of interrupt that communication link, I think it makes a bit of sense that we may be really have great access to whatever it is that He might be wanting to give to us or to say to us or to show us. And so a lot of those ideas come early in the morning, many times during worship, and which that might right be in the factory as well. I became a big fan of worship on the production line.
And basically what you want to encourage the listener is to be open and to be expectant and to be asking that maybe God wants to give us so much more, actually concrete help. I mean, we are used in some ways, you know, to spiritual language in church and encouragement, but it's often floating out there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what I really like about business's mission and people on the workplace walking with God and seeking Him. It becomes so tangible.
Let me share a real quick story about two people that I know who are both inventors and have many patents. The first gentleman designs engines, like gasoline engines, for small airplanes and many different applications. And he has 58 patents. And I asked him one night, did you create those ideas or did you receive them? And his eyes got really big, like he was completely surprised at his response. And in a little bit in shock, he says, I received them. And I think that's typical, that what he would have said was his creation was actually something given to him from God. And I have another friend who has, I think, over 70 biomed patents. And he immediately said, oh, I received them all. He knew exactly where they came from. I think it's describing a world in which we live when we're surrounded by what Proverbs would say is wisdom, crying out at the street corners, wanting to be heard, wanting to be known. Anyone who is willing to listen to her can receive what she has to offer. And I believe that they may be not just spiritual advice, but they may be designs and patent or patterns and the solutions that we need to fix the mechanical problems in our world if we're like a factory owner.
Yeah, so what do we need to do, Bill, to receive this? Do I need to go on a 30-day fast?
I think it's a lot simpler than that. Remember that the kingdom belongs to children, to childlike people, to a childlike heart and attitude. So I would find that and just say, hey, Father, is there anything you want to teach me, anything you want to show me about my world and the destiny that you've given to me and the places where you've put me? Is there anything you could teach me to help me be more of a contributor in my space, in that which you've given to me to do? And then I would just relax and play with it. I would
relax, again, the words. So instead of kind of, you know,
tensing up and really working
hard at it. You know, making fists with me. Right. I'm going to get from God now.
Yeah. I think it's more like an Easter egg hunt. I think he places things for us to find, but he doesn't give us everything at once. And so we need to approach it, or it's helpful if we approach it as a kind of breadcrumb sort of a journey. So he gives us one thing and we find it and we then look at it, and then he gives us another and another, and he leads us into a complete idea. But it's not just at the snap of a finger. And part of the reason is he loves the journey. He's using this to get us to get closer to him. He wants us to spend time with him, as unbelievable as that may be to some people.
So, because when you shared about the lamp things, mm-hmm. which I still really don't know how it worked, but anyway, I believe you.
Right.
There, it just popped into your head.
Yes.
So, can you give an example when you had a breadcrumb journey?
Well, there was another machine that we needed to develop because we couldn't find one to buy that would do this. They didn't exist as far as we know. The task was to take a 6-foot-long thin piece of metal that we would use to assemble bevel glass pieces together with. It's called caming. And we needed to cut them, but we needed to cut them in many different lengths, one at a time. The cuts need to be in a certain order. And they weren't a flat 90-degree cut. Some of them were 45, some were 90, some were 35 or 30 degrees. And So I just asked the Lord, how can we possibly do this? Because every other company that we were aware of in the world would cut maybe 100 of these things at one time in one shape. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to use a different system. And we wanted to only cut them as we needed them and then cut them in the order in which they would be assembled. And so the first thing he showed me was a small blade, like only about 3 inches in diameter. Most of these blades for cutting this metal are like 12 inches, the big blades. And he showed me a small blade and then a small saw that it would fit onto. And he said, this is all you need because you're only cutting one piece of metal at a time. And I thought, oh yeah, that's totally different than what everybody else uses because we assume we'll cut many pieces at once. And then he showed me how to do the 90-degree flat cut.
Like the next day?
Within 15 minutes, just right then. Mm-hmm. And then how to put that device on a slide so it will come, you could pull it with your hand out towards you and then back in. And then you could rotate it 15 degrees to the left and 15 degrees to the right. And then you could push another button and make it go into another angle looking down from the top. It would be a 45-degree line. And that was, you know, breadcrumb after breadcrumb after breadcrumb. But that only gave us the cutting. The other problem was we needed to cut different lengths. So maybe the first piece would be 2 inches and the next would be 6 inches and then 5 inches.
To have a better production line, it was like getting insights while you were step by step.
Yep, step by step. Mm-hmm. And because we're asking for these solutions, we assume we're actually receiving them and not generating them ourselves.
You say we.
Sure.
You and your colleagues?
Me and my colleague. So I mean the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's just the way we have learned to think about it. We do stuff. We're good friends. We just do stuff together.
When you say when we received you...
Yeah, when we were developing it and I was receiving, he was giving ideas.
Okay. We were developing, you mean you yeah, and the Lord.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so then he showed me how to do the thing with the different links and how to change from one design to another in 5 seconds. And it was all just incredibly good. And the machine worked without failure for, I guess it was 6 years.
It sounds like you enjoyed seeing these. The products, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
So, your friend, the Lord, did he enjoy seeing them?
He enjoyed me seeing them. I think he's like, if you think of the Heavenly Father, so we have three that we interact with, Jesus, our Father, and the Spirit. Our Father is the best Father in the world, in the universe. Would he enjoy playing with his kids or having time with his kids and putting projects together with them? I think he absolutely loves time with us way more than we have the capacity to think, way more than our religious heritage sort of describes it. You can find the biblical evidence for this in the Return of the Prodigal Son. I mean, that is an incredible story, and it depicts the personality of our Heavenly Father. So would that person that we read about not want to spend time with his kids, particularly if they're on an assignment from him to run a company that he owns and they're learning to steward, and they're asking him to participate in the operation of the very company?
Because that's something that you take very serious, right? That it's not your company, it's his company.
I try to.
Would that be something for our listeners to be serious about? Because when it's his company, it might increase faith. Okay, this is not that I receive because of my success, but it's advancing his company.
I'm sure it would do some of that, but the biggest advantage I find is it becomes like a place for us to meet. Sometimes we're playing with it. Sometimes we're just sitting and talking about it. But it's the place where I expect him to show up every day. And I show up every day at the company when we're in that context. And it's all about listening to him and finding out what he wants to do for the day. So it's, again, sometimes a breadcrumb kind of experience. But in this case, the steward is at work with the owner every single day. Now, this is not the way most Christians think of being a steward. Most Christians think of being a steward, taken from the idea of the talents and the minas, as having a relationship with a master who gives us some resources and a command. The command is do business until I return. And he says, I'm going to leave and go receive another kingdom, but I'm going to come back and I want to look at the books with you. I want to see increase. I want to see some profit. And so we think of that as being the typical definition of a steward. But if you ask, is the owner present with the steward in those stories? The answer is no. And so we don't think he's present with us at work because we're just in that mindset.
Yeah, we are stewards stewarding his company. We are responsible.
Yeah, you feel abandoned sometimes, alone in it. Yeah, and that's a heavy responsibility. I don't think that's a pleasant place to be in or a productive place. But if we take what he says in John 17, where Jesus is describing his relationship with his Father, and he says, you know that glory that I have with my Father, that I think he's referring to that thing we do where I don't have to say anything he doesn't tell me to say, and I don't have to do anything he doesn't tell me to do. I get to have that kind of guidance in my life. That glory I'm giving to you. It'll be me in you and you in him the same way it was me in him that I demonstrated. And so now if you put that together with the role of a steward, I realize, oh, I'm not alone in this stewarding thing. In this stewarding task, I go to work, he goes to work with me. It'll be me and him and him and me.
So then it becomes, you know, in the beginning when I heard about this receiving downloads, you know, it's like, ooh, kind of almost creepy. Or, but as I hear you talk, it's like, it's quite natural.
It's the fruit of a natural relationship.
So when I would hang out with that like that in his company, something we're doing together, well, then it's quite, maybe I don't have to fast for 30 days to build up my faith that I might receive something. It's growing out of a natural relationship.
If we would treat it not like a spiritual relationship, because I don't think we even know how to define that, but just as a natural relationship, we would probably make much more progress.
Well, I think that's a good thing to close here. Bill, we will talk a bit more about this subject. I think there's a lot to say still. Thank you for this talk and look forward to our next one.
Oh, thank you very much, Gay. I really enjoy these talks as well myself. I hope that they're encouraging to all of our listeners.
This was Gay Agort from the Netherlands with another episode of Kingdom Keys for Business, Life and Work. Remember to check out the training starting this upcoming September. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you don't miss the next one.